You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
That was the run. You see, are we on? We're not on. We are on. We on?
Your camera's frozen.
Everything's frozen. We locked up.
I'm not
here.
Frozen.
10 seconds before we were about to start, I'm scrambling, but we're good. The boys are here. It's time for Seminole Headlines, and as always, Ira and Corey in the other room. Here I am in the director's chair. I think we got it working out here. We're coming back around. We froze up for half a second. Now we're good to go. Register Sausage. You're probably proud to be sponsoring this hour as we get started.
Good
here.
Grief! Yay! Can I get back on the boat?
Yay, sausage! All right, there you go. Take it away, Ira.
Did you have any registers on the boat? Did they offer registers?
They did not. It has not made its way to Royal Caribbean.
I mean, what are we doing here?
I know. I agree. That's what that whole cruise was me looking down, trying to find it.
I thought you were going to broker the deal.
I should
make it happen.
I should have. I don't know. Where do you have you ever been on a cruise ship?
I've not.
There's got to be 1,000 people that work on a cruise ship. Where do they sleep? They must sleep way below deck. Like
right.
You saw Titanic.
I did.
Yeah, they're in the steerage department, right? Yeah, I guess
they're getting screwed over.
So I didn't know who to go to talk to about register sausage.
My friend Suzanne, back in the day out of college, she went to work there on a cruise ship, and man, the stories.
Apparently,
the folks that work on the cruise ships, they get after it.
I would think, right?
It was good.
You're 8 hours on,
just
16
traveling
hours
the world,
off wherever. Yeah,
yeah, not a bad deal. But I think she did have to entertain bratty kids. That was part of her job, so that wasn't great.
Yeah, but then that's all the more reason to get after it in the nighttime.
Exactly.
Yeah, probably so.
But Register Sausage is a good way to get after it as well. Registermeats.com is the website, and you can have it delivered. If you live in the Southeast, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, a bunch of parts of the Southeast, you know the states in the Southeast, there's a chance you have it in your local grocery store. If they don't have it, go complain to the meat manager peacefully, and then order it at registermeats.com. Ben, who runs the place, is a Knoll. A lot of Knolls work there. Great people. Great sausage. Order from registermeats.com.
Do you want to name the states of the Southeast?
There's Louisiana. There's,
where does it stop?
South Carolina.
Is Virginia the last one? Because Virginia was where the...
It's close, yeah.
I mean, that's where the capital of the Confederacy was.
So Maryland's,
Maryland's the one that's the tweener. Yeah. West Virginia is the south.
I think it stops at Virginia, you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's correct.
But I think if you've been to Maryland, you know that there's a southern feel.
Oh, very much so. Outside the bigger cities.
Yeah, Maryland feels, especially if you get outside of Baltimore, feels a lot more like the south than it does the north.
Yeah, it's a little shaky. A little shaky at times is the way I would describe it.
We call it the Ireland of the mid-Atlantic seaboard.
All right, boys, we get to go to practice today, and I'm for one and pumped. I mean, what a day, right? Today we go back. This is on the heels of the announcement this morning, which we already knew about, but they held the press conference. Ira, I did not make it to the press conference.
Noticed that.
Me either.
Did you? No, Corey didn't make it either?
No.
Very busy.
And I watched the Alford press conference. It seemed like he reiterated many of the things I got to talk to him about in Iowa City.
That's what he did. He actually would say. He said, as I told Corey
last week. Right. That's how he started every sentence.
Yeah. So I read the release, saw the original thing. I didn't feel a need to be there today. Did you learn anything?
We got some flavor. I think the most interesting news out of that press conference, which you can read about at warchant.com, watch the videos, read Corey's story that he wrote remotely. The biggest news is that, even the event organizer said of all the games they've held in Ireland now, they've held several, that Florida State's fan base the response has been greater so far from Florida State's fan base than any fan base that they've entertained.
Now, let me ask you, and I'm going to interrupt right there, because I'm kind of curious. You told me this in the hall, and I thought, you know, it's not surprising. But is that a little bit like a concert and the artist telling that city it's the best city they've been to yet? I mean, does it feel a little bit like, good to be here in
Cleveland?
We'll
see next year when he goes to the next site and says, look, you guys are doing pretty well, but nothing like Florida State last year.
We'll see, right?
Now,
he's not doing that at Georgia Tech, I bet.
I do think they would have done that no matter what. But he really meant it this time.
Yeah.
It's like Springsteen really meant it in Tampa.
Yeah, it was next to his heart.
From the heart. But no, Michael Offer gave me some real numbers. He said, I spoke to him afterwards. He said they've gotten over 2,000 down payments from Florida State fans like Jeff Cameron.
Yeah, I've given
four. You already did the down payment?
I had four.
Golf package?
Yeah, the whole family.
Did you
I haven't picked the package yet. Okay. I just wanted to get my $250 per person designated. Make sure I got my seat. Section 376. It's like there. It's nice. Club level.
Oh, I'll look at you.
I'm not screwing around.
And they've already had 50 requests for suites, which, man, this stadium must be awesome.
It's a big stadium. It's over 50,000.
And I think they were saying it's built for rugby originally. And, you know, obviously that was kind of cool. Like just to hear him talk about the hospitality. I thought that was John Anthony, the guy who is organizing it. I think he's the one that said it, that the hospitality from Florida State fans has been great on their part. They've loved the way FSU fans have responded to this game. And he goes, hopefully we'll be able to reciprocate when you come over in August 2024. So the party theme seems to keep coming up.
You're all over that microphone. It is your lip. It's like your mouth is knocking it. I like it. I like the look.
Excited?
Yeah, I like what I'm seeing.
The problem is it's not like solidly on here.
No,
it's around.
It's good. Don't let it swing around. Keep it still.
Keep it still and steady. So, yeah, I think I'm taking – I think the plan probably will be to take Brady. That might be his first ever flight.
Yeah, I got both boys going.
And I feel bad. Like, I was thinking about this on the cruise. It's like I don't do enough cool stuff with my son like my dad did with me. And this would be a really cool experience for Brady.
Yes,
it's going to ruin my experience, but that's fine. It'll be cool for
him. It's going to ruin your experience.
Well, because
come on,
I'm going to be even parent mode. I'm going to be like, oh, Brady, don't do that. Please don't do that, Brady.
No,
no.
My kids and I'll let them run around Dublin.
Well, that's fine.
That's
then if they can run around Dublin.
Go.
I don't know if Clark and Brady running the streets of Dublin is what we want.
Yeah.
I mean, Bryce, we're fine. Bryce can hang with us.
Bryce will be the babysitter.
Clark and Brady, we don't need that.
Yeah, you figured
that out. There might be an international crisis.
Have you figured it out with my boys, haven't you? Bryce is solid. Like when you just.
Clark's a wild card.
5 minutes of him watching me parent them, it was a whole lot of Bryce is good to go. Clark!
Yeah.
It was constant sort of just walk, walk, walk. Clark!
Yeah.
That's how that goes. But he's in seventh grade. It's a bad grade, man. Seventh
it
grade,
is.
I would
seventh
argue,
grade's
is
the worst.
Worst
that was
of
my,
all
that
the grades.
Was my least favorite of all the grades.
That's
seventh.
A bad grade.
I hated it.
Anyhow, so we're all going to Ireland. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to have to drug your ass.
We've already talked about it.
Have you got it ready? Black
no,
car
I got
heroin?
A boat. I got a boat set up.
You're not doing a boat. Are you going to do a boat?
No, I don't think they do cruises
You'd
to Ireland.
Be gone
You'd have
for
to
a
fly
month.
To New York to get to on a boat. So
do
that
it.
Would be defeat the purpose.
Take it back. Take it back.
No, Stephanie's told me, she's assured me that I won't. She'll take care of me to where I just lay down and then I wake up and we've landed.
Like a baby.
Yeah, like a little baby, like a little newborn. So I'm hoping that happens.
I'm going to look over and Stephanie's going to be like tapping his arm, getting the
make sure he's
the injection.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. You ready? Yes, 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 please. Before we take off, they fire up the engine.
Give me the medicine, mother.
But if there's a trip to fly to, it's certainly Ireland. Like that's something that's a once in a lifetime thing. We got to figure out, you know, like many Florida State fans are trying to figure out expenses, where they're going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But we got 17 months to figure it out.
Yeah, it's a year from August. You got a little time.
Yeah. But you can't buy plane tickets right now, but they are going to be expensive.
Oh, this is not for the faint of heart when it comes to the money. It's not going to be cheap. No trip abroad ever is. So that's just kind of a given. But
are we going to do a War Chant meet and greet in Dublin?
I think Gene, people asked about it on the message boards, and Gene was like, that's a good idea. We'll see what we can do.
We could do a GoFundMe to make sure the whole War Chant crew gets there.
Yeah. Just Gene's got to step up.
That's a good point.
I'm sure he's happy to hear that.
I think I think the War Chant faithful are got their own financial issues trying to make this
trip
happen.
Well, that's true. They don't really worry about us.
All right, let's make sure Jeff gets there.
Right.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah. No, so it'll be all right, though. We're going to have a good time. And today, we should have a good time. As the buildup continues, you get practice followed by Florida State and Florida on the diamond. This is the beginning of a stretch that has the three of us slightly concerned for the baseball team.
It might be more Taylor Swift coming with this baseball team.
No.
Just for this season.
They are not going to be sitting there three quarters of the way through the season with five wins like the basketball team was. We're not doing that.
All right. All right.
They didn't start the out-of-conference 2-9.
Well, no, they didn't. They're better than the basketball team, but yeah. It's going to be tough unless they find some pitching. It's going to be tough.
Well, Wyatt didn't pitch over the weekend.
Correct.
So, you know,
that's not great.
You just, if you got him on a normal rotation in the weekend, if you win that series, so one game, you lose the 4-2 game. If you win that game, we're not having the conversation. Nobody's upset.
I'm still a little worried about the midweek.
They're going to lose a lot of midweek games.
Yeah, that's not great.
I don't really care about midweek games. I care about winning your ACC conference series, and each one of those are really, really important.
Well, on the downside of that, though, they just played two of the worst teams in the conference, historically, at home.
Historically, but I think
three and three.
Split them. That BC team's not terrible.
No, they're not. They're not. I don't know that they're going to finish in the top three. It was funny to watch, man. One thing that was interesting about that is Tyler Holt is over there on their staff now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so remember back when he played for Florida State?
Oh, yeah.
He was brash.
And he was the guy, like, you always thought, like, you like him on your team.
Hated him if he was on the other team.
You got a feel for that this weekend because he's over there coaching third base, man, and he is – chattering nonstop to whoever's base runners are, because there's a lot of base runners for Boston College.
Yeah, he had a lot of time to talk.
And he is just nonstop, which is also geared to the pitcher. You know,
without question.
Not you know, overtly.
He knows how to get under the skin.
Man, and I just think he was relishing that weekend. And man, I feel bad for the staff. I do feel bad for Link and the staff because I feel like they're trying to put together a puzzle when all the pieces don't fit. Like, imagine going to the store and buying a puzzle, but
you're missing
there's no
pieces.
Right answers. Like, I don't know what the right answers are. They can get better than they've been, but can they get good? I don't know if they can get good.
They won't ever be great this year, but they could be better than average. So that's around good. Oh. Somewhere, you know, I think they
that
could
be
better
good.
Than average. I don't feel sorry for him. I think he knows what he signed up for. I think it'll be fun for us to watch how he manipulates this lineup. He's already having to put pieces – like you said, into places that don't fit. You know, let's just say it. Jaime Ferraro should not be in right field. There's other guys that you see anytime. Well, wherever you put Nander, he doesn't belong there. So, like, as you watch this and we look out on the field, there are times you're like, man, that's – he's having to play a guy out of position and or he's having to play a guy he didn't want to play. But until you get to go out and recruit your own guys, until you can get a better depth of arms, to Corey's point, you're going to lose series or you're going to lose some games. And sometimes, you know, the way it played out this last time during the midweek, I kind of thought they'd get hammered because of what happened the weekend before. So you're thinking to yourself, man, you're just going to have to wear it. Like, you're going to have to roll a guy out there, and he's going to have to wear one for the team. That first game against UCF was exactly that. Like, you're just going to have to take his ass kicking.
The smart thing he did that Willie did not do when he took over the football program is Link was very clearly trying to lower expectations.
He was measured
in the preseason, saying he's razor thin pitching staff. I've never been around a pitching staff with this little depth. So he let us know right away that okay, the pitching might be an issue, and he was prophetic. So let's hope it turns around a little bit. So you were at the press conference today with Norvell.
I was.
So I watched the video recap. So he's as energetic talking about a game that's 17 months away as he is. I don't know, the LSU game, the 30 minutes after the block extra point.
I think if Mike Norvell sees people, that's just who he becomes.
He amps up.
That's just who he becomes. It was so stark because you had Michael Alford speak, who's not like that.
Yes.
You had President McCullough, who's certainly not like that, FSU's university president. And then the other speakers. But then Alford gets up there, and he's just...
Norvell.
I mean, Norvell gets up there, and he's Mike Norvell. Man, he's got one speed when it comes to public speaking. Going back to baseball real quick,
we got some things to curl.
Last thing
here.
About baseball real quick is I did like one of the things I liked about Link last night or Sunday after the game was that they had some calls go against them in that game.
Oh,
right?
That home plate umpire was an ass.
He was bad.
Awful.
And he was
awful.
Eric Gregg bad. I mean,
not just the strike zone was bad, but then he calls a foul ball on a ball that's hit off the ground. He thinks it's off the kid's foot.
Yeah.
It was not off the kid's foot. So they get a foul ball, and then the kid ends up hitting a two-run single
right.
The next, like, two pitches later. There's, I think, a batter's, like, his elbow pad's hanging out over the plate, and it gets hit, and it gets a free base. Just stuff like that. They didn't get any of those calls. They also got squeezed on some situations early in the game, which I think affected Carson and the other pitchers. But what I liked about what Link said is, he's like, well, you get those calls if you're sequencing pitches and if you're hitting your spots. You know, if you're commanding the game, you're going to get some of those calls. Florida State's pitchers have not done that.
They've been erratic. Yeah.
They have not been consistent enough. You can't throw – if you throw a ball high, a ball low, and a wild pitch, and the next one's down the middle, you may not get that call. I mean, they're just
– his eyes are – yeah, they've had to move all over the place.
And so that's – so that accountability is good because I think – I was concerned he was going to kind of rip the umpiring because he ended up getting thrown out of the game. But he didn't. He was like, no, we have to we control that by how consistent we are. And he said that's been a problem for us from day one.
He got thrown out at the right time. It's the exact same pitch that was called a strike the last inning. And then there was a fastball up and in that he didn't call. And so you've had the inconsistencies there. That pitch happens, which is the exact one that he just got. Yeah, and so he had to get tossed there to stick up for his team. He did. I think there's accountability. I'm not overly concerned. I think it'll be interesting to see if they're playing well by season's end when they get everybody back healthy. I think they probably will be playing well. I don't think they're good enough to win anything of major significance. But I just want to see how they're playing at the end of the year because I think some of the young arms are exciting to watch get better. You're starting to see that. You and I have talked about that some. And I think if you're healthy at catcher, you know, you have options anyhow. I think you're going to be better there. And you're also going to add some more pop to your lineup. That lengthens your lineup. Yeah, are they going to be defensively strong all year long? No, but if you get some guys back in their normal positions, it'll help. I'm not as worried.
I just want the listeners and the viewers to know that I tried to veer it back into football, and it was completely hijacked into baseball again. That's all I'm saying. That's all. Corey Clark's doing his part.
We'll get there, man. We got a long show. It's
all
okay.
All right. Starting off with the mediocre baseball team after a week off, I don't know. I don't know if that was the right play after losing to BC.
Buddy, it's a spring practice.
It's going to be a fun one, though,
and
man.
And we're going to be there. And
they are in pads, right? They'll be
they
back
are
in pads.
Pads. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and the ability to speak on after practice what they did is
yeah,
a
it was
bit
kind
easy.
Of a bummer. I was hoping they'd do Monday, Wednesday, Friday again instead of the Tuesday, Thursday schedule. So we could have something to talk about. We could have actually seen a practice yesterday.
I want to answer two things here really quickly in the chat. We'll move to football after we take a quick break, and then it'll be mostly football. William, no, I did not say that there's a guy that does not wish to play. I said that he's having to play some guys that you wouldn't want to have to play. Mm. So just to answer and clarify that, I want somebody thinking there's a kid out there playing that doesn't want to be out there. I can't fathom that. And David, we didn't ignore the basketball team. Once the pronouncement came that they sucked, what more was there to say?
Yeah.
They suck. They've got to play out the rest of the games in which they're going to suck. The only other question we had was, would they suck enough to get the head coach fired or not? What else would we have been talking about after we had become to the conclusion, very early, I might add, at 2-9 in the out-of-conference
game? I think
game.
It was 0-3.
Yeah, well,
we were like, this
the
is
exhibition
a wrap.
Game, I was a little suspicious. But, yeah, I mean, there wasn't anything else to talk about.
Yeah, there's a couple reasons we do think that there's reason for the turnaround. And to put a bow on baseball talk.
Let's do it.
One more time. Is that
I think 10 more minutes. I love it.
You do have some guys that are not playing right now that you think will get back. I mean, Cam Smith, obviously, will get back. McGuire Holbrook, the catcher.
Who I love.
Will get back.
Yes.
And then also Diamez Ross, the center fielder, will get back. So those are, you know, that changes your team a little bit. Now you could put guys, you know, maybe Nanner, you know, you like the left-handed bat if possible. They need more left-handed bats, so maybe he could be a DH. Maybe, and there's a couple guys that maybe could be DHs.
You're a sweetheart, Ira.
Can you get three or four?
You are a sweetheart.
Can you get three or four DHs?
You should be at least able to have two DHs.
If you're willing, if you're willing to play three infielders,
yes,
and have two,
you have eight position players, but two DHs.
We're good. We're just going to play with eight.
That's how bad some of the fielders are.
We don't want them in the way.
Have them a fielder at all.
Just a vacant space.
Patch of grass.
Because by the way, that patch of grass will not overthrow a ball into
Correct.
The dugout.
Yeah, it won't kill you. It'll hold
rolling.
It for you. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You got a chance to hold it to a single at that
point. So there is reason that this team could look different. Plus, this is a head coach's first year. He's learning his players. He's learning his pitchers. There's a chance there's some improvement. Part of the problem last year was like that team wasn't going to get any better, and that coaching staff knew those players, and it wasn't going to get any better until this offseason when they could start replacing those players. And I think you're going to see that over the next few months.
Seminal Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment. You don't have to play the music because I got to tell the fine folks about the fact that the NFL season has come to an end. Yes, it has, in case you didn't notice. But at MyBookie, the opportunities don't win or to win don't stop. Get it together. Whether you bet to earn or make the games more exciting, MyBookie gives you the most for your money with a redesigned deposit bonus. Getting started is easy. Just visit mybookie.ag. Use the promo code WARCHANT to claim a bonus of up to $2,000. Use the promo code WARCHANT to get a deposit bonus that gives you extra funds to play with all the way up to $2,000. With MyBookie, bet on the NBA, NHL, UFC, or play for the share of the big cash prizes in the weekly online blackjack tournaments. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and win like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Rolling on to your football talk we go. And I don't know where you want to start, guys. Ira and I did the Monday smash last night. Kind of excited about, well, we're always excited to go out to practice, partly because they have so many good players and so many, I don't know, competitive battles going taking place at each segment group. So, I mean, that's just, this is so much different than it's been in other years, even last year. We thought they'd be better last year. Now they're definitively going to be good. It's a question of how good and who starts where.
But also last spring, they didn't have all the offensive linemen they were going to end up with. Like, they got a couple guys in the summer. And so,
including Turnentine, right? Like,
he was
a summer guy.
He was like right before the camp. And so you didn't know, they didn't have quite as many guys on the offensive line. And some of the guys that they had were not fully healthy. I think Dylan Gibbons didn't practice much last spring.
Right.
There's some guys who were going through some things, you know, physically. So you never really got to see a lot of the great battles between the offensive line and the defensive line. And I think once the season starts, you don't see a ton of that in practice because they don't want those guys wearing each other out. But I think that's what I'm looking forward to see is not just competition in the position groups, like who emerges on the offensive line or who emerges on the defensive line, but just those dudes, the best dudes, the really good dudes going to war against each other. I think we're going to see more of that than we have.
Yeah, I mean, on Friday, the last Friday before we left, Tom Lang was there to document it a lot of it. But, you know, Daryl Jackson was probably the best player on the field. He was really, really impressive. And again, he might start, he might not, but he's going to be splitting reps, you hope, with three other guys that are pretty darn good. Maybe awesome. Like, that's just, you know, they haven't been in a place like this in a long time where even your second string offensive linemen are getting great reps against guys like that. You know what I mean? Like, Daryl Jackson could work somebody. Probably will, and did. We saw it. Like, so that only gets them better. I mean, I guess, or they could lose confidence and quit the sport. But that's typically only going to get you better to go up against a guy like that that isn't even Fabian Lovett. Like, you don't get a break with a lot of these guys on the defensive line. And the defensive end is the same way. Obviously, five is the best one they got. But 56, he gave Jeremiah Byers some problems. I mean, that's a different kind of speed coming off the edge that my man, I guess, was used to at UTEP. So he's got to adjust. The competition level is so high or higher than it's been here for so long. It's really encouraging. It should only benefit the team.
I call it, again, over and over, the spring of hurt feelings, because I think there are a lot of guys that started last year and are presumably starters this year that won't start. I think they're going to get beat out.
You just don't tell them that until August 23rd.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they know they're in a competition, and players know more than anybody who's winning those battles, who's the better player. They see it. They go up against it on a daily basis. I don't really care who starts. If you're too deep with that kind of talent, like you say, Corey, it's just going to benefit everybody. Players care if they start or not. But if their reps are not, you know, appreciably dropping and they're just maybe not the designated starter, they'll live with it. I mean, as long as they're playing and they're a part of the reason that the team is successful, most people can handle that. But that's going to happen at a lot of places. I think it's going to happen on the offensive line. I think there's a chance. I said it to you before we even saw padded practice that I think Daryl Jackson could be the starter over Fabian Lovett. It doesn't really matter. They could both start. You know, depending on the package you want to run and the front you want to run. But I just think they've brought in a lot of talent, and a lot of that talent is going to beat out some of the incumbents.
What's interesting is this is all still kind of new in the world of college football, the portal era, because in the past, like 3 years ago or any time before that, when newcomers came to a team, they're usually freshmen. And older guys don't care. Most of them don't even pay attention to recruiting. Like, they don't know who they're recruiting. They may entertain guys on visits.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter to them. They're just having a good time with some kids who might come to Florida State.
To highlight that real quick and get you back to your point, I remember the spring or maybe the summer of 2010, we asked one of the offensive linemen about any of the newcomers that impressed him. He's like, it was like maybe the third day of camp. He goes, I don't know the guy's name, but the white kid, number 95,
Bjorn
he's
Warner.
Really
right,
good.
Right.
And, like, yeah. He didn't even know who he yeah. was. He's, yeah, like, 95. Yeah. He didn't know his name. He's, right. like, 95 is really, really good. But I don't know what his name is. So,
and,
yeah, anyway.
Yeah, and so and also the guys at their positions. Like, they're not concerned about it because these are guys who are coming in after them. They're going to have to wait their turn.
They got to learn.
Just like they
it,
waited
yeah.
their turn. And then even these last couple years, when you brought in portal guys, it was because you had huge holes.
Yeah.
So you're bringing in a Jared Verse. There's no question Jared Verse was going to start. There was no question Jermaine Johnson was going to start, or Johnny Wilson was going to be a
key
player.
There was definitely no question Jermaine Johnson was going to start.
What's different now is you're bringing in guys in positions where you already had guys who think they're good.
Yeah.
And we're on a 10-win team.
Right.
And now they walk. Well, who's this guy?
Hurt feelings. I mean, here it comes.
And even if they knew they signed these transfers, it's different when you actually see them go through tour duty and go through practice.
Like they can play. Yeah. I may not start over this guy. And he was brought in over me, and I'm a redshirt junior.
Yeah.
That'll hurt your feelings. This is where when you use the portal, you can really benefit yourself, but you're going to see attrition. People are going to choose to go play somewhere. If they get beat out that far along in their career, they ain't sticking around most of the time. I mean, I think if you're a third-year player and you thought you were slated to start and they bring in somebody over you, that'll hurt your soul, man. Not everybody can handle that. That's going to be tough.
I don't think on the defensive line it'll be an issue because they do rotate so much. Clearly quarterback would be an issue, but offensive line could be, you know, if somebody comes in, it's going to take your spot and there's only five stars. They don't rotate a lot on the offensive line like they do the defensive line. They do a little, but not to that extent. That's the one where you wonder, okay, if one of these fourth-year guys that's played a lot of football at Florida State doesn't foresee him starting, is he going to be okay being a swing guy in a backup at multiple positions? You hope, but you just
some guys can handle that. Some guys are, and they're fine with that.
Don't you think Darius Washington's a guy that, I mean, I hope I'm not jinxing it, is a guy that can handle it because he's never gone into a year being a starter.
Right? I think he's probably pretty safe. Because
he's a very important dude on this team, I think.
No, he is, but I think DB's another position because you brought in some guys. You have everybody coming back except Jamie Robinson, and you brought in a few guys who could start in that
Central
secondary.
Cyprus is going to start, we think.
So how that plays out. Now, I think it's going to be interesting. The cross-training they're doing, I think, is smart for a couple of reasons. Number one, it does give you experience and flexibility if there's injuries or other issues. The other thing is it keeps guys engaged. So now, okay, well, I may not keep my starting corner job, or I may not win this starting nickel job, but maybe I'll be in the top two at two positions, and that's more chances to get on the field. So I think that part of it's got to play into some of their decisions too.
It'll be fascinating. Spring, at the end of spring, is where we'll get a lot of answers. You'll just see, you know, there'll probably be, judging by the way this seems to be playing out, two or three guys that maybe you could reasonably see deciding to move on, and then there's probably going to be two or three that you didn't expect.
Right.
You know, just the way that they project their future just like everybody else does. And they're seeing, Malik McClain kind of surprised us all a little bit. You know, that's a good kid who played hard and was a good player. You hated to lose him. You kind of understood it on both accounts, right? You're like, you wished he would have chosen to come back. He would have gotten more touches this year, but there's only one football and there's a lot of talent in that room.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, what was he going to get? 20 catches at best this year? So,
I mean, Florida State would go games where Jordan Travis threw 13 times.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, Malik McClain's thought is, all right, well, you know, that's cool, but I could be a featured receiver somewhere else, including a place like Penn State, where that's a high-profile gig. If he goes out and catches 42 balls this next year in the Big Ten and has a good year, he's probably thinking in his head, that ups my draft position, gives me a better shot than if I stay here and catch 17 balls because there's too many players here. And you don't blame a kid in that situation, but it's the kind of thing that we're going to have to get used to. And I'm talking about, like, if I'm speaking for the fans, it's going to be tough when you wake up and you pull up warchant.com and you're like, oh, damn, so-and-so just decided to jet. It's gonna start to happen.
Yeah. You just hope, like it's been the last 2 years, the sands on the scale are tipped well in your favor. Well in your favor. Like, because they have.
They already are, man. Like, so far, the sands
all
been here.
That's what I'm saying. It remains that way because, I mean, they have – who have they lost? Corey Durden's the one they lost, I think, that they could have really used the last
that one
few
hurt.
Years. That's about it.
Cyrus Fagan would have helped.
Sure, but Cyrus
DJ
Fagan,
Matthews.
Yeah, but not Durden's the one that you felt. And I don't think you're going to feel Malik McClain. Maybe Sam McCall becomes something, and you're going to feel that one. But the trade-off is Cyprus, Fisk, Daryl Jackson, Jermaine Johnson, Jared Verse, Johnny Wilson.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been
really...
Jordan Travis was a transfer. I mean, they have crushed the transfer game.
But as your roster gets better and deeper,
it's
harder and harder to maintain that ratio.
Because you were losing guys like, I don't know, Josh Griffiths, people like that.
Devastating.
Don't bring it up again,
Corey.
I know.
I remember where I was.
I mean, there's a long line. I mean, it's the Quayshon Fullers, and I mean, it's a long line of Carter Boatwright. I mean, there's been a ton of guys.
Raymond Woody, the third and the second.
I forgot
you lost both of them.
Devastating.
But, yeah, I just think that's – that portal window is going to be interesting because Florida State, honestly, they're going to have to lose a few people just to get to 85.
Yeah, they're too many now. They're going to happily open the door for some that want to sit down and talk here soon. I mean, that's, oh, come right in. What's on your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you, well, I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Like no effort to try to, you sure? No, no, that's great. Listen, by the way, we anticipated this might be coming. Yeah, there you go. So that is going to happen. By the way, so Corey, to your point, Iris famed analogy, they're the sands on the hourglass. What's the weight doing in the, or the sands,
the
on,
sands
the scale?
On the scale?
What's the weight doing in the hourglass? What are the weights, or what are they doing? Is there any?
There's nothing in the hourglass. It's just flying through.
The sand's gone. It's on the scales.
Yeah, the sand is on the scale.
That's what I do.
That's what I'm saying. The weights are in the hourglass.
I pour the sand from the hourglass into my scales, and I take those weights and I give them to Corey to work out with.
There you go. I like it.
I do have a question.
We need to replace something in the hourglass.
We're about to take a break, right?
Mm, we are.
So I just want to get this in real quick. I got a spray tan before the cruise. I'm okay willing to admit that.
I'm not shocked.
Right. It doesn't make me less of a person, right? To get us because
why are you asking? Is it eating at you?
It is a little
clearly,
bit
clearly.
Because I'm so pale. I'm so pale, and I knew I might have my shirt off.
Who were you trying to impress?
Well, the people on the boat.
He says he was doing it for them.
Yeah, but I would have blinded them. Literally, I'm so white, it's impossible. So I got it. So much so that when you see me with the spray tan, it still looks like I'm the palest person on the boat because I just wanted a light dusting. I wanted a light dusting.
We're going further down a road that we don't need to go down that
I know.
Continues to be something to document.
I
something to document.
I agree.
I mean,
yeah.
Jimbo's got a guy for the implants. If you want.
Oh, that's true. That would be a bridge
too
far.
We go from the isthmus to a full mane.
A mane like flowing locks.
Yeah, we go Matthew McConaughey, come in here. All of a sudden, you've just got too much hair. We don't know what to do
with
it all.
You think people would notice if I did that? Just saying.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
You and I talked about running back Corey. Who's the guy that, I don't know, do you think there's a guy that is a surefire candidate to not be here at the end of spring? Let's just put it that way.
That running back?
Yeah.
No. I don't think there's a...
That's interesting.
I think Toa Feely is such a unique weapon that they're going to find ways to use him, and he trusts that and knows that because they always have. Benson certainly isn't going anywhere.
Started,
Rodney Hill's a redshirt freshman that's going to get more playing time than he got last year, so it's looking up. And Keziah Holmes knew the deal when he got here, and...
He's going to play.
I think he's going to play.
And I don't think he could go because they don't have the... You know, he's already transferred once.
But he's going to play. That means CJ Campbell.
Oh, well,
that's possible,
yeah,
but I don't know, man.
I'm not rooting
sure
for him to
that.
Leave. I'm just saying, I mean, this is the kind of exercise you can do
right.
as a fan if you're thinking about these things. I mean, I just presented that because they're so loaded.
Yeah.
So it's easy to say, well, frankly, even though he's a good player, CJ Campbell, because he could start somewhere.
I think it'll be interesting with quarterback after the spring. You got four guys. You're going to have four guys in August. I don't know. You hope, and probably, because all of them have a reason to stay. All of them have a reason to believe they're on the right trajectory, right?
Doesn't feel like Tate would ever want to leave. Well, Duffy's not going to leave.
Also,
and the other
kid's a
freshman.
I think Tate thinks he's going to start. He's going to be starting in Dublin with all of us drinking Guinness.
Yeah.
I think Duffy's the one. If there's one that they
feels
have
like
to
he's getting squeezed
right,
out.
Right. If there's one that they have to kind of massage, it's going to be Duffy. But the good thing is, I mean, he's looking better. So
he was a freshman last year. I don't feel like he feels like he's getting squeezed out.
No, but he could feel like it.
But he's already got two kids coming after him.
He's got
Brock Lenn's already here, and then the Krummenhawk kid is coming in the next year, and he's like one of the top five quarterbacks in the country, according to On3.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But it's a good problem. All of these problems that we speak of and describe as problems are good things when you have too many good players at a position, or potentially too many good players at a position. Where it's bad is when you get one of your best players. Like, you know, we did a number on some other programs. South Carolina feels bent over on the regular.
Yeah, they've become a pipeline. Yeah. They're like the Gwinnett Braves and the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, it hadn't happened to Florida State yet, but I imagine it will. You're going to end up at some point, somebody's going to be like, well, let's go grab one of their starters.
That's interesting, though, because there aren't a ton of starters at a program like Florida State with the prestige, the ranking, the tradition.
Yeah, to be sure, South Carolina's not Florida State.
That are constantly losing starters. I don't know. I mean, I guess Alabama could raid Florida State, but I feel like Florida State in that competitive in the NIL marketplace right now is pretty competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, I don't know. I don't know that that will be the issue. I think it's more about the Sam McCalls of the world, the guys that you want to develop, that need a year or two to develop, that they come and get. I don't know that they're going to come and get a Johnny Wilson.
But we're also focusing on the downside to having good competition is right. that in this era, you might lose some guys. The huge positive side to this is if you played at Florida State from 2018 to 2021, you were a quality player, like you didn't have to really compete ever. You knew you were going to play.
Yeah.
You knew that they had nobody else.
Yeah.
If you could play, who was pushing Jamie Robinson 2 years ago?
Who was pushing Brownlee? Brownlee would never come off the field.
He stayed on the, he would play 80 snaps. And now some guys are self-motivated. It doesn't matter. But for a lot of players, that's going to make them better. So that has to be what has these coaches excited. The guys who do stay and compete are going to be better than they would have been otherwise.
Yeah, I was always jealous of, well, recently Georgia, but LSU did it on defense for years. Remember that? I mean, leading up to that national championship team, I mean, they just were loaded on defense year in and year out. And you would see the depth of that talent in the draft because they'd get so many kids drafted. And you think, what was practice like? Can you imagine being at those practices where your starter is a first-team All-American, the backup ends up being an All-SEC kid who goes on to get drafted in the second round? Like, it was nuts watching all those guys. You saw it a lot.
And you, and again, this was Florida State was like this in the 90s as well.
Sure.
But like you, those guys, especially on the defensive line, they don't want to play 70 snaps.
Nobody should.
So they're cool with rotating. And I don't see you, I don't think you're going to get a lot. You said that earlier. I don't think there's going to be a lot of issues there. The positions where guys don't want to come off the field, usually, I mean, obviously offensive line, those guys don't rotate much. And then the secondary and a receiver. I think those guys want to be out there as much as possible. Those guys can run all day. And they want opportunities. They want the most at-bats possible.
Yeah, to your point, even running backs like less carries now than they used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't want to be worn out. If they're going to be in the league, they don't want to be worn out by the time they get there.
Which is kind of interesting about Trayshon because he's a guy who I think still would have gotten carries, still would have had opportunities here, but I do think he wanted more carries, which is why he went to Kansas State.
Well, and it's weird with running backs. We grew up, all of us did, in the era where guys didn't even start to quote-unquote cook until they got 15 to 20 to 25 carries. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, like Michigan would always have a guy, like a Ricky Powers or somebody, that had 41 carries in a game, and his 28th to his 36th carry was when he made all his yards.
Was it Wheatley? And
Wheatley,
Remember those guys?
Tim Biabaka Batuku?
Yeah.
36 carries?
And, yeah. Always.
Well, you go all the way back, even like a John Carter at Penn State and guys like that, same thing. Like they wanted, and in the NFL – Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, all these guys, 25 to 30.
Yeah, and they're wearing your ass out to where you don't want to tackle them anymore. And then that's when they start breaking off the 30, 40
yards. It's totally shifted now where even kids in college at running back will say, oh, well, you know, I don't need, I mean, 12 carries, 12 to 18 carries, just fine.
You know who has no qualms with running a running back a lot? Is Jimbo.
Right.
Jimbo gets a dude that can make plays. He's like, I'm just going to give you the ball 36. Like his running back he had last year.
Why
he gave him the ball 37 times. He did it with Dalvin.
Well, and he should have.
Well,
Dalvin saved the team.
Yes.
And
it didn't really seem to hurt Dalvin too much in the NFL.
No, I think when you have a freak, you got to run him. Your job as a college football coach is to win college football games. You're paid handsomely to do so. If there's a precipitous drop-off between the number one starter at running back and the number two starter, then you better give the number one starter a ton of carries. But the good news here is that you have a clear-cut starter, we think, in Trey Benson. But really, I don't think the drop-off after that is going to be very steep. I mean, I think the second, third, and even fourth guy are all good players.
And I think there are times where you can say, okay, Benson doesn't have it today. I like what I'm seeing from Toa Feely, and Toa Feely gets 14 carries, and Benson gets 11. Mm-hmm. Like, that happened some last year, not with Toa Feely getting 14 carries. But in that in the bowl game, Benson was not your best back. Trayshon Ward was. Mm-hmm. And Trayshon Ward's the one that won the game with the Johnny Wilson and my man Fitzmagic won the game. But Trayshon Ward gave him the lead with that long touchdown.
Now, the coolest thing I heard at the coaches' luncheon we had was with David Johnson. He said that in that game, and I think he said it publicly also, but, you know, everybody knew Trey Benson was close to 1,000 yards. But even Trey Benson knew that Trayshon was having a much better game. And as that game went on, they went to Trey and said, do you want to get back in? And he's like, no, let Trayshon keep doing what
he's
doing.
He's on fire.
And that's pretty cool.
It's really
Trey
cool.
Trey Benson seems like, I mean, and they've got a lot of those guys.
I would like to ask him about it. Some other time. I mean, I never played running back, so I don't know. It's got to be interesting. I mean, how is it that a running back has an off day? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say, well, it's the same way everybody has an off day at their job or whatever else. I don't know. You run hard, you have vision, it doesn't change week to week. You know, I mean, it's kind of strange that Trey did have those moments last year where he just seemed reluctant or hesitant, is maybe a better word. Whereas, and you needed a guy to hit the hole 100 miles per hour and stop dancing. But that's strange to me because I thought some of that was residual from the injury going all the way back to Oregon.
He really says that we just talked to him a little bit about his running style, and he said it's taken him a long time to understand that he's a big back.
Like he's a big bitch.
He's always known he was big, but he didn't need it. Like in high school,
he just ran away from people. Because he's also fast.
And he was on a great team that ran for a million yards, and so he's running through huge holes and running into daylight, and he outran people.
Yeah.
He's having to learn how to be that. So I don't think it's second nature. It hadn't been.
Yeah.
And I think that's why there's some inconsistency there.
Well, you would think that lesson learned, right? Because when he ran hard last year and hit the hole moving, guys got trucked.
Yeah.
And he embarrassed some people last year several times over. And a testament to that speed, despite the size, is the kickoff return, is all the stuff that we saw from him last year where he could run away from people.
Who finishes second on the team in carries? Toa Feely, probably.
Yeah. But I was going to say, what's cool about this team is that you do have options, man. Like, if Benson, for some reason, isn't feeling it, I mean, I think Rodney Hill has a chance to be something real nice. Keziah Holmes is a guy that, like, he just kind of got lost in the shuffle last year. It's like,
I like him a ton.
He averaged 3 yards a carry at Penn State. He was on the scout team last year. They had these other guys. You're like, okay, maybe he play. I think he's going to be a big part of this team.
Definitely is.
I think he's going to be a really big part of this team. It's awesome to have another big back in case your primary big back isn't running well, which probably won't happen much, but it will happen some because it's sports. And you have another guy that can go in and maybe give you a different look.
That's a really good question. The more that I'm kicking it around in my head, Toa Feely catches the ball so often, and he's such a big part of the offense. I don't know, though, that he'll get the second most amount of carries.
I wonder what he had last year.
Yeah, well, we could
probably 100 carries.
Because don't you feel like this will be a big year for Rodney Hill as well? I mean, I love him. He's a great player.
Yeah, and I think Keziah too. I mean, it'll be.
See, that competition, that's what we're talking about.
He had 93 carries last year, Toa Feely did. So that's, what is that, 5-6 a game?
He doesn't carry a ton. I don't know that he'll get more than that. He'll catch a lot of passes as well, though. I mean, they're going to continue to throw him the ball. He's really good at it. I don't know. That's an interesting question. Keziah Holmes could be the right answer.
But you also have some early games. You have two huge games in your first month of the season, LSU and Clemson, where I don't know that you're going to want to be finding out what you've got in some of these other guys. Like, you know what you've got in Toa Feely. I mean, I think you've seen him run in big games. You haven't really seen Keziah Holmes run in big games yet. You haven't really seen Rodney Hill do it in big games. So I wonder if early on you lean a little bit more on Toa Feely.
Yeah, the LSU game, obviously, you're going to play all those veteran players that were part of it a year ago and who you can trust greatly. But you do have, until you get to Clemson, you got a couple experimental kind of fun games where you could play everybody.
Yeah.
You were giving me a look like you wanted to add something to the conversation, Corey.
No, I just like your hat.
I was trying to play off.
No, I like your hat.
Thank you. It's a nice hat. Yeah. Go Bolts.
I need to start wearing hats.
I actually think we're stuck in between here, guys.
What happened over there? Corey lost his
cord came
his
out.
Cord.
I can't hear what you're saying, Jeff.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Rolling on, short segment here. We'll get to headliner questions in hour number two. Corey, I'm told maybe you did not post for Facebook questions.
Yeah, did. Did I not?
Somebody called you out on the Twitter feed, Iris Fame Twitter feed.
I hadn't seen that.
Mm. Yeah. No, I did like at 9 o'clock last night. I had to record the
you
podcast.
You did do it.
No, I think so, unless it didn't go through somehow. But
I believe you.
Worried.
I think you're probably right. I just saw a tweet go out last night. I was watching the World Baseball Classic, which was awesome last night. And I was sitting there watching that, and I saw that Ira right after we got done with the smash. And, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, let me see. And I pulled it up, and this guy commented that I'll read his question. He comments that he thinks you're in a gang because you always give gang signs when you take pictures.
I don't know that the peace sign is a gang sign.
Well, I think sometimes the way you do it might suggest you're in a gang.
And I'm not doing any
of
weird things
with
my fingers.
Things going on with
from
you.
Atlanta, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Jimmy Carter Boulevard. I mean, you have to fit in. You have to adapt.
Always doing your sideways stuff. It seems a little bit. Pretty soon you're going to start pointing a pistol.
Well, a fake one.
Yeah, fake one. Yeah, like, you know, fake gangster. Yeah. So there's that. And then but he said at the end of it, I think he tagged it, still no Facebook post.
Well, I think we made it.
He might have just been keeping score, letting everybody know that I was on it. had it done?
Because I mentioned the cruise. I mentioned that I was on a cruise. Corey came back from his cruise. We're back from a week. I know I typed out the question. So we might get
you
some cruise questions.
You typed out the question.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
Person?
He hasn't.
I have, yeah.
It's all right.
I hate the cruise.
It was all right.
I think they suck.
It's all right, though. If you're not willing to fly like I'm not, it's a nice alternative
a
to go see.
Yeah. There are good cruises. My father did the big, massive Alaskan thing where you're on a massive boat and you do it upright. I did the one to the Bahamas. I did another. I've done two or three, and I don't like them.
You think your dad would take Corey and I on a cruise?
Take me first.
The father-son cruise?
He's never taken me.
Yeah, I feel like, but you don't like cruises.
But I'll go on the one. If we're doing Viking cruises or something like that, I'll do
that. How are we going to get to Alaska? I'm out. Can I take a cruise to Alaska?
You're done. I'm going. Iron, I'll fly.
Yes.
All right, we'll send you pictures. Y'all go. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. I'll go to Coco Cay or whatever that nonsense is.
Yeah, so did you see your frogs and all that?
I did not. I didn't get off the boat in Nassau. Didn't feel the need.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
Didn't feel the need. I liked the boat when it was empty. It was fun.
My buddies in South Florida would go back when they would do the gambling ships.
$45, yeah. Take it out there.
Just
go
out there to gamble.
Oh, buddy, yes. I've done that a lot. Now, that's fun.
But I also, half the time they would come back and go, yeah, I lost all my money in the first half hour. Now you're just stuck at
you're
sea.
You're just stuck on a boat. Yeah.
Till whenever. I'm sure they have plenty of ATMs.
I was going to say, they got plenty of ATMs. You gotta have side money for your drinking to drown out your miseries while you're out on the boat. You're like, man, I just lost $7,000. How did that happen?
And they give you drink packages on your card where you get unlimited. Well, they're not free, but they're unlimited drinks if you pay enough money. So Stephanie got both of us that.
Yeah.
Which I think we a beer on a cruise is $8.
Mm-hmm.
So
imagine that it's not.
Yeah, I mean, but that's so rationally. Just if I drink five Mick Ultras, which I did, that's $40, and that was just for 30 minutes?
All part of it.
Yeah, I know.
It's almost like it's free, Corey.
Almost.
You're also, what's funny, when people that live in a college town like Tallahassee, and then you see beer prices in real cities.
Hey.
Holy. Oh, buddy.
Hey, let's not say that Tallahassee's not a real city.
In non-college cities.
There you go. Yeah. That's much better
a
phrase.
Big city.
We're a state capital, Ira.
It's just like, what?
Yeah, it's crazy. $8, $9.
One of my brothers lived in Denver, and before that he lived in San Francisco. And I'll just say this. He was making more money than most of us will ever see. And he was like, I'm broke. He goes, we go out to eat, $350.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get away with it. Two beers, screw you. You're having water.
Yeah, water. Yeah.
Hour number two, headliner questions coming your way. Hang in. Seminole Headlines continues in a moment.